The Kickoff
with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
It's a huge weekend of Premier League action ahead, particularly for our local sides, Liverpool and Everton. The Reds at Manchester United in a midday kickoff tomorrow. And of course, Everton, with Sam Allardyce's position looking extremely precarious at home to Brighton, who sit just a place above them in the Premier League table. Let's talk about all that with Tony Scott from Scotty Best TV. Morning, Toe.
Good morning, Steve.
I'll turn you on. There we go.
Good morning, Steve.
How are we?
I'm very good, thank you.
Yeah, it's a great looking weekend. Let's start with Sam Allardyce, because his comments we've spent days, hours talking about this, haven't we? His comments yesterday, though, had people further questioning whether he really felt he was in it for the short or long term. He seemed to indicate that he wanted to be viewed as a long-term manager of Everton Football Club, but at the same time, he was very much admitting that he's under no illusions about his position and that he could easily get the sack quite soon. Does he really think he's there for at least another year?
No. I think deep down, heart and heart, he knows Everton's not the right club for him. It's not the right fit. He knows he's been there for a purpose, and it's to keep Everton in the division, and he'd be shown the door. Now, the onus was on him, obviously, in the summer. When he was sitting on that beach after David Unsworth had obviously stepped down to the under-23s, he received a call off Farhad Moshiri, and the ball was in Allardyce's court. Everton was so-called desperate at the time, not in my opinion, but in the words of Farhad Moshiri, he obviously was, to get Sam Allardyce through the door. Allardyce and his representatives as well within the right to say, listen, we're not here for 6 months to keep you in the division. We want an 18-month contract. And that's what he's got, but that's not what he'll save. He'll be shown the door in the summer. I'm 100% certain. I don't know. See, I speak to all the Everton fans after the match, Steve. That's my job, to speak to the Everton fans, get their opinion on what they think has happened in the match, what they feel, who's man of the match, who's let the team down, etc., etc. Every single Everton fan didn't want Sam Allardyce through the door. He didn't want him. And now, even with the accumulation of the form, I feel as if even if Sam Allardyce was to win the next 8 games, he'd still be showing the door. Everton fans, you just can't take to him. And I think Jamie Carragher made a good point last week. He said, it's like the Roy Hodgson fit at Liverpool. It just doesn't fit. They don't fabricate the club what the fans want. And Sam Allardyce and Roy Hodgson are just the types of managers like Tony Pulis, like Alan Pardew, gone through all the life on this merry-go-round, won nothing in their lives, won nothing. And that's all they are, run-of-the-mill managers that'll never win anything because their ambitions aren't the same as Everton Liverpool fans, what they
but
expect.
What most Everton fans are picking up on now is that, all right, he can't turn them into that football brand that Evertonians want to see, but at the same time, he can't even do the job now that he was brought in to do. So if you looked at the defensive shambles of the Burnley game, well, that's a far cry from what you'd expect from Sam Allardyce.
Totally agree. I think the problem that Everton have got, Steve, and which a lot of the... Do you know what? Ronald Koeman had the same thing as soon as he left. When the players know the manager's time is up and he's not going to be there next season, the players will look for any excuse to down tools.
Yeah.
Now, they knew when David Unsworth came in, they knew he weren't going to be there for the long-term future. When they knew Sam Allardyce come in, yeah, they'll get an instant response, like most managers do when they come into the game. Now the players know automatically that he's not going to be there in the summer, and you don't need to give the players an excuse to underperform, and that's what they are doing. So that what they'll say is
so that... So is Ashley Williams a prime example of that
100%.
Last week,
yeah. He couldn't wait to get rid of that armband. When he was sent off, and I don't care what anyone says, even if you've kicked a player up the backside or elbowed anyone, and it's an instant red, you will argue tooth and nail to that referee's face, whether it's right or wrong, to stay on that pitch. Mm. He couldn't wait to get rid of that captain's armband, took it off as if he was being substituted and went straight down the tunnel. That's Everton's captain in a game where they've lost 5 away games on the spin. That's not what Everton fans expect from the captain. He couldn't wait to take that off and give it to the nearest person. He should have been in that referee's face, pleading his innocence and wanting to stay on that pitch to make sure Everton get a result. He couldn't wait to get off it. He's down the tunnel and he won't be needed now for the next 3 games. And it's probably justified because Everton don't need characters like that in the team at the moment.
So that's the example of the mindset that is probably endemic within the dressing room.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think there's a lot of players like that. Morgan Schneiderlin springs to mind. I know Everton have got rid of the likes of Kevin Morales, but there's a few weak mentalities in there in that Everton dressing room they've got to get rid of, because obviously with players like that who've got no backbone, who've got no spine, they're not going to get anywhere in life, and Everton need to ship them out in the summer and get ones with, dare I say it, and I kept them. We were here last summer, weren't we, Stephen, saying about Wayne Rooney's winning mentality,
yeah.
And he's the only one, I think, who's got a bit of nous in there. Yeah, he mightn't be playing well at the moment, but at least he's shown he's caring and he's got something about him. Now, I look at it, the sad predicament that Everton are in. You look at all of the money that's being spent. Now, I look at Everton's back four straight away. Now, David Moyes left Everton in 2012-13 season, best part of 5 years ago. We've had a lot of managers since, a lot of money being spent since. Now, Everton's best defenders, Leighton Baines, Seamus Coleman, Phil Jagielka, all players David Moyes bought. So all that money since then of Funes Mori and all these players, all being wasted. And it's sad, isn't it, when we're looking back at David Moyes' players are still Everton's best players, even though all this money's been spent since.
It's testament to what's going on. Michael Keane, he's not a bad player, is he? But he is playing, well, he's having an extremely tough time, isn't he?
Another player, Steve, that we've just touched on, mentality. I know he's played for Manchester United and he obviously went down to Burnley, but stepping up again to the Premier League with Everton in, like I say, top six, top seven team, so to speak, and carrying that big price tag, 25, 30 million, hasn't got the mentality for it. And it's sad to say, yeah, he is a decent player, but looks to me, Steve, I'm looking at him, watching him last week, and looks as if he's got cement in his boots. He cannot run. And you're watching, like, no disrespect to Ashley Barnes, but where would you class him in Premier League status? Run-of-the-mill, centre-forward, runs all day for you. Yeah. Ability-wise, not the best, but he gave him a torrid time. I know you're thinking, Ash, you'd be able to think, Michael Keane, you should surely be able to cope with the likes of Ashley Barnes. And he couldn't. He'd run and ragged. He battered him. And that's mentality and ability. Yeah, I think he's got the ability to match him. But the mentality, once he got the better of him, that was him gone. And the two centre-backs last week against Burnley, they shouldn't be playing together ever again for Everton Football Club.
Well, the indecision comes from a lack of confidence, doesn't it? Confidence comes from how your manager puts you out there, how he sets up the side.
But you've got to have it in you, Steve. It's all well and good. Listen, I've came on here every week and I've said, Sam Allardyce, I sent the team out with a negative attitude. I've came out and all that. But the player has got to have it within himself, have that mentality to go, do you know what?
But it can be destroyed, can't it?
It can be, but once you cross that white line, Steve, it's down to you. It's in your inner self to go, do you know what? Yet the manager's asked me to be X, Y, and Z and sit back and have 10 men behind the ball. But do you know what? I can still put up a fight. I can still get stuck in. I can still show I'm willing to care. But then players last week, I'm looking at players, no one's pointing at each other. But one thing that did stand out, and Jamie Gallagher pointed it out on Monday Night Football, Idrissa Gana guy. Now, not many people seen this, because Cara was in the fortunate position to see the game from, obviously, the terrace and above. Now, when, obviously, Chris Wood scored the winner last week, the cameras were all on Burnley celebrating. But one thing that was highlighted is Idrissa guy ran 25 yards from the opposite end of the pitch to the other to have a go at Jordan Pickford, Michael Keane and Ashley Williams. And he had a good go with them in front of the face and pointed fingers at them. Now, that's not something which just happens. A goal goes and you don't run 25 yards. That's been fabricating and boiling over since possibly half time. So obviously, a guy said something to them. Said, "Listen, he's getting Ashley Barnes is getting in behind you. Get goal side, shuffle over, and that's the way to do it." But it weren't happening. So for a guy to do that, run 25 yards to have a go at the two defenders and goalkeeper, that's been boiling up for some time, and it's something that Everton players need to do more of. If I was me personally on Saturday, I'd give a guy the captain. I said, "You've just shown more effort and more professionalism in the last 6 weeks than any of our players have shown this year."
Yeah, you've shown the leadership, haven't you? But what about this stat? Sam Allardyce has a worse record over his past 9 matches than Ronald Koeman over the same period before he was sacked. Both won 2 games, but the Dutchman managed 2 draws to Allardyce's 1. Overall, Everton have lost 19 competitive games in 2017-2018. That's the worst since 2005-2006.
It's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. Yeah. A man can be basically brought into a football club for the sole purpose of keeping Everton tight, getting back to basics, so to speak. It hasn't been. And then there's a couple of stats that spring out at me here, Steve, for tomorrow's match. Everton 5-4, Brighton 5-2. But the one that did jump out at me is Everton have picked up 10 points from 12 from Allardyce's first 4 matches. Since then, they've picked up 9 from a possible 33. That's staggering, the form Everton in at the moment. It's relegation form. They're quite lucky and they're so lucky that there's so many poor average teams left in the Premier League, because I think for Everton to pick up 9 points from a possible 33 and still be 10th is staggering.
That's so despite his rhetoric about the home form and the points, it doesn't really stack up when you listen to it that way, does it?
Brighton have got above Everton now. Yeah. Brighton, I think, Brighton are now, they've won the last I did Brighton unbeaten in the last five, 1-3 and drawn two. And I've opened the scoring in Cecily Stephen two of the last away games. So on the road, Brighton opened the scoring in the last two. So, and Brighton 6-4 to open the scoring tomorrow. However, Everton have only lost one of their last nine at Goodison, and that was against Manchester United. So Everton have got a fantastic home record. They've needed to be because their away records are absolutely abysmal. I think it's the second worst in the division.
What's the favourite bet then for tomorrow?
Well, just briefly, Steve, Glenn Murray has got five goals in his last five. So Everton have got to be precarious on him. And only Aguero and Salah can better that. So Glenn Murray's bang in form. The bet for me, and I've had a look at Everton and Brighton's previous five matches, and this bet has gone in the last four of Everton's five and the last four of Brighton's five. So it's got good form. Both teams to score and over two goals, 2-1.
Yeah, fair deuce. Yeah, you're going to finish with 22 men, yeah? who's the ref?
I'm not sure.
It's not like you. You always know who the ref is.
I know. I just think for this one, it's not going to be nice. It's just going to be gritty. Brighton aren't the team. I looked at Brighton's form team as in Fair Play League, and they're not interested in throwing tackles in. Bottom of the league for yellow cards, Brighton. Right. So it's not one. Brighton aren't that type of team, are they?
It's all nice and lovey-dovey. Right. Old Trafford, Manchester United against Liverpool. There's a real needle here, particularly United second, Liverpool third.
I think the team that wins this will more or less guarantee Champions League football, Steve. I really do. I think it'll just go bang. That'll be a cement. I don't think you'll cement second spot, so to speak, but it will guarantee and confirm Champions League football for me. Man United 13-8, Liverpool 7-4. Now, this is the 170th league meeting between the teams. Man United have won 67, Liverpool 55. Now, there's two stats that jumped out at me, Steve, which I was quite surprised with. Liverpool have lost more league matches against Manchester United than they have against any other side in the history of Liverpool.
Wow, I wouldn't have expected that.
I wouldn't have never have expected that. 67 in all. Manchester United, surprisingly enough as well, because I always see, whenever Liverpool play Manchester United, especially at Old Trafford, I go, Liverpool have got an half-decent record there. But when this stat jumps out at me, Man United have won 10 of their last 13 Premier League home matches against Liverpool. That's surprising.
But what still seems close to me is the Gerrard win still seems close. Or the Gerrard, the near hat-trick, the succession of Danny Murphy games, wasn't there?
And then you had the Philip Coutinho in the Europa League as well.
Absolutely.
So I always think of them games, but 10 of the last 13 Manchester United wins, they're in the league, so to speak. Obviously, the Coutinho one was in the Europa League, wasn't it?
How's Romelu doing?
Well, this is where it gets interesting. No team has scored more away goals in any of the big five leagues than Liverpool. So you would expect Liverpool to score, but saying again, you would expect Manchester United to score as well. So the bet for me in this one, Steve, I'm going for Romelu Lukaku. I'm not winding up Liverpool fans. I'm not.
You're winding me up.
I'm not, seriously. Romelu Lukaku has scored five goals against Liverpool in his career, two for West Brom, three for Everton. And I just feel that tag and that label towards him is that he can't do it in big games. He's sort of trying to prove it now more than ever. And last week he scored against Chelsea, big game against a big team, done against his old club. And he's 7-4 to score on Saturday morning against Liverpool. He scored five against them in previous years. I just feel as if he's... He looks a better player, doesn't he? An all-round better player than what he was at Everton last season. He was sort of Everton's just inspirational goal-getter. I think he's become more of a complete footballer at Manchester United now, and he's had more goals to it as well. And I just feel where he's gotten to get better and better, he's going to have to obviously get more goals as well against these big teams. He got it last week against Chelsea, and I feel he'll do it again on Saturday morning. But just a couple of other bets as well. I fancy Milner or Lovren to be carded in that one. But Lukaku, anytime scorer, 7-4.
How many goals has Lukaku got this season?
I think 15 on all. 15 in the league, yeah.
I think a lot of people after the first month of the Premier League would have lumped on him being the top scorer, but it didn't quite continue in the same way.
No, I think because if you look at Harry Kane and Sergio Aguero, they are the focal figure. Whereas in Romelu Lukaku, who's got Rashford and he's got all these types of players, and Martial, and obviously Ibrahimovic is there at the start as well, and he's got a lot of players up there for him. And I just feel he's not the big fish in the small pond where Harry Kane is, so to speak. And I think that the Lukaku went. I'd say if you were to ask Lukaku, would you take 15 goals this season and win a trophy? You'd take it. He would take it. And if you think he was to ask Harry Kane the same, he'd take it. It's all well and good winning individual awards and golden boots, but what these players need to do now is win trophies. Now, I think Tottenham and Liverpool are in that bracket now. Fantastic team to watch. But when we look back at Tottenham and Liverpool in 10 years' time under Klopp and Pochettino, you go, well, what did they do?
Yeah, but I can't...
Great to watch, but what did they do? What did they win?
And I can't work out whether Spurs fans will be a little bit disappointed given their exit from the Champions League now. If you look at their season, it I don't say imploding, but it's not quite the success that it had been made out to be.
Yeah, but they are still in the FA Cup, and they are obviously top four, going for top four. They've got to win a trophy, Steve. And it's the same for Liverpool.
And Liverpool do.
Listen, Tottenham's last win in the Cup was Juanse Ramos in the League Cup, not 15 years ago. Liverpool won League Cup in the last 12 years. So I just feel one of these, Klopp, Pochettino, fantastic managers, love the way they play football, but in 10 or 15 years' time, what will we look back at this era for the football clubs? Great to watch them, but what did they ever win?
Tony, no, you've got to shoot off. Thank you very much indeed.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall. Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.